I'm going to start over in Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. And talk to you tonight just a few minutes about some things. I guess if I gave this a title, I would say, you ain't seen nothing yet. We'll get to it when we get there. All right. Let's begin here in Luke chapter 24 and just kind of as a jumping off place. Verse number 25. Luke 24:25. This is the resurrected Savior. And as he has appeared to those after his resurrection and began to discuss with him, verse 25 says, "Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And as they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them." Now, verse 31, underline it. "And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures?" I want to speak to you tonight about some things that you just can't talk about. Some things you just can't talk about. Come to 2 Corinthians, and we'll move over here. I want you to keep this passage in mind. We'll be coming back here. And I think at that point we'll have a little better grasp, hopefully, of the immensity of what was said there. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. And I want you to look at verse number 15, if you will. And then we're going to go back and begin in verse 8 and read down to it. But it says, "Thanks be unto God for his," and underline the next two words, "unspeakable gift." That word occurs several times in the scripture. And when we talk about unspeakable, we talk about something that defies our human ability to convey whatever it is that's contained in that particular passage or verse or word. And here he is thanking God for something that is unspeakable, the gift that's unspeakable. And you say, well, what does that mean? That means that I can't teach you. I can give you words, but they will not convey to you what you need to know that is in this passage. And I started with this one because this one will be the hardest pill to swallow, I suppose. But if you go back up to verse number 8, or maybe you already have your Bible marked, we've been through this a number of times on missions conferences and things of that nature. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 8, he says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, He hath dispersed abroad, He hath given to the poor, His righteousness remaineth forever." Now, he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints." Now, don't fall asleep on me. This is usually where you begin to nod off. You say, why? This is technical jargon. Okay? You say, why? It's because I can't explain it to you, and you won't get it. There's only one way to understand this passage, and we're going to talk about it in a few minutes. "For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God, whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you." And then the verse we began with, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. I submit to you that everywhere this word occurs, it conveys to us something that defies explanation or defies laying it out just exactly so it makes complete logical sense. And there's a reason for that. And I begin with this one because he's talking about giving financially. Everybody knows preachers love to talk about money. And but it is ironic, is it not, that as he begins to talk about these finances and giving financially unto the Lord, he sums that up by saying that, you know what? Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Meaning what? I can't tell you what it takes to do it. I can't teach you. I have taught principles. I have taught these passages over the years. I have tried to give an exposition or an exegesis of these passages. And I think every pastor should do that. But the truth of the matter is, I've preached to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people over the course of my ministry. And can I let you in a little secret? Many of them don't give yet. They've never given anything to God. Now, don't shut me off because we've got two more to go. Okay. If you can handle this pill, swallow it. Okay. Because there are three things here. He talks about being unspeakable. And here he talks about this unspeakable gift that comes from God in the context of financial giving to the Lord. We've talked about it in the context of missions, because certainly what was being given here by the Corinthian church was given for the benefit of other ministries in random places, as well as getting the gospel into places where it had never been heard. And we could spend probably the whole time on giving, but I won't do that tonight. I've never been anybody to bother. I don't know what you give. I don't care what you give. Okay? But you should care what you give. You say, why? Because if you're not careful, you're going to miss an unspeakable blessing. What does that mean? A blessing that is so phenomenal, you can't properly convey it to people. That's what's in the context here. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, right at the end of a passage that says you ought to give, you ought to give, you ought to give financially, you ought to give by faith, you ought to stretch yourself. I mean, there are a number of points in this passage. I don't teach that Christians should give because the church needs the money. Okay? You say, well, what does that mean? I fear to say this, but I guess I'm not going to be around long enough to regret it. Amen? You understand, this church is over 40 years of age, and we've never had a major financial problem. You know how unusual that is? We've never had to get up and beg and plead and we're going to lose this, or it's God has supplied the need. Now you say, why? Because I grab people at the door, I shake the stuffing out of them, and I say, how much money you got? No. Can I help you tonight? You want to find out, you want to tap into a blessing you can't even describe to other people? Unspeakable, right? So what the passage said? How many of you saw the word unspeakable? You know what unspeakable means? You can't talk about it. It defies explanation. And it's in the context of learning to give. Okay? Now, take a deep breath because we'll be through in a few minutes and I'm going to move on. You say, well, what does it mean that it defies explanation? You can only learn God's plan for giving and the blessings that come for submitting to that plan by doing it. All the stories in the world don't make people give. They are encouraging. And there are multitudes of stories that can be told about people who tested God in that sense, or tested themselves as a Christian and said, you know what? I need to learn how to give to God. And as a result of it, here's what they received: an unspeakable gift, something that you wouldn't believe if they told you. We've always used, there's a couple of examples that have been put into print. And basically that's the reason we use them, because somebody wrote their life story. But Letourneau's story, as we've told it so many times, you probably know his middle initial. But Letourneau, who is the fellow who just got saved, didn't even have a job at that point in time. And after he got saved, God gave him a job. And they got excited about being saved because God gave him a job. And he ran down to the church and they got involved in the church. And lo and behold, one of the first few Sundays they were there, the preacher preached on money. Everybody knows that's the taboo for a preacher to preach on. And Letourneau went home and told his wife, he said, "Did you hear that guy? He said we should be given 10%. And she said, "Well, yeah, but we're not making enough." And he said, "Yeah, but he said God would bless us." And so the story is simply this. He began giving 10% of his income, which, by the way, wasn't enough for them to survive on. And in less than a month, they walked up to him on the job site where he was working and they said, "Hey, you've got a good attitude. You're a hard worker. We're going to put you in charge of this and you're going to get X amount of money in a raise." Let's fast forward, okay, because you've heard the story. By the time Letourneau was in his 60s, he was a multimillionaire. And from the day he trusted Christ, he started giving there in that church service. And he told his wife not long after that, he said, "You know, God blessed us. We've been given 10%. I wonder what God would do if we gave 20. And so they started giving 20%. And then 30%. And then 40%. And then 50%. And then 60%. And then 70%. Is this exciting yet? And then 80%. I'll give you 70 yet? 70, 80, 90. When Letourneau left this world, he was given 90% of his income to missions and works of the Lord around the world. 90%. He was living off 10% of his income, which at that time was a multi-million dollar per amount of money. Because God continued to bless it. Now, preacher, are you telling me I'll become a millionaire? I'm not telling you anything. I'm just telling you there's an unspeakable gift associated with giving God's way. Is that not correct? The entire context of this chapter is about giving to the Lord. I'm not going to tell you God's going to make you a multimillionaire. Don't you go out here and say, "I said that." I didn't. But here's what I will say. I'll put my reputation on the line because God put it in print right here that those that learn to give God's way get a reward, a gift in return that defies explanation. Defies explanation. Meaning what? You know, sometimes we're expecting God to give us lots of money. And sometimes God doesn't have to give you money. I mean, did you ever figure what it costs from somebody who finds out they have cancer by the time they have 7 or 8 surgeries and radiation treatments and hospital stays and recuperation? Did you ever figure out what that costs? You know, God might just keep you healthy. Amen. You say, "Oh, well, yeah, sure, there you." Okay, well, just pray you get cancer then. See, we don't recognize what a wonderful blessing it is until we're on the other side of that situation. You know how many people are in hospitals tonight and in care facilities and in hospice centers praying, "God, I wish you'd give me another chance. I wish you'd give me my health back." You know how many people are in children's hospitals praying, "God, I wish you'd help my child just to be able to." What am I saying? I'm not threatening anybody. Sometimes it comes across that way. I'm not. I don't think God's going to kill you for not giving. But I do believe if this context is correct, it's not God killing you in retribution. It's God just saying, "Okay, listen, this is a system where you want my blessings. Here's what you do. You give, I give back." You say, "Well, is God going to be mean?" No. The deal is you give, I give back. You sacrifice, I supply. Now, here's the way we want it. You supply first, and then I give. And God said, "No, it's not my way. Not my way." So the truth of the matter is, in this context, and again, it's not about money tonight, and I think you'll understand it before we're done. It just simply is a verse that has it right at the end of this thing. Verse 15, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." Right after these rules and regulations about being generous to the cause of Christ. Now, I don't believe this is something that's true for people that sit in the pew. I don't think this is something that's more true for people that have good jobs. I don't think this is something that is restricted to the people that join the church and not the pastoral staff. I think this applies to all Christians everywhere across the board. Meaning what? Well, how much should we give? I think you better give what God leads you to give. Okay? Don't go home tonight and tell your wife, we're going to give 100% this Sunday. Because you'll lose your wife, your house, your car, and everything else you got in the process. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying let's learn that he calls it an experiment here, didn't he? You know what he said? An experiment. By this experiment. I think you can experiment with God. So if God said, if you give, I'll give back to you. Good measure, pressed together, shaken down, running over. I'll give you more. What would be a good experiment then? Try it out. Right? That means simply this. If I would learn to follow this path of leading here, I would learn something that defies explanation. I'll tell you why people don't like to hear preachers preach on money. Can I tell you, if you ever hear somebody say, I like your preacher preach on money, can I tell you something about them? They don't give. You have run into a class one, grade A skinflint. That's what you've done. You say, what does that mean? It means anybody that learns to give to God will learn in short order what this passage said. And that is God will take care. And God will supply our need. And God will bless us. And God will give us things we never imagined in that process. And you say, what is that? It doesn't mean you're going to become a millionaire. You may only make $25,000 a year, but God will stretch that $25,000 a year so that you live like a king. You say, how can that happen? See, I can't tell you. It's unspeakable. Defies explanation. And there are stories and testimonies, not just here, but around the world, of what God has done for those who just trust Him and say, Lord, I'm going to submit to this. I don't understand it. Can I tell you that's your first step here? Because if you understood it, it wouldn't be unspeakable. So I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. Okay? How many of you took math in school? How many of you took algebra? How many of you took trigonometry? How many of you took calculus? How many of you like calculus? Then we find out who the real idiots are around here. Because nobody likes calculus. Wow. All that we've learned about adding the numbers up and 1 plus and 2 plus and all that. Can I help you? You can't figure this out mathematically. You can't do it. You say, well, what? It's unspeakable. And once you sit down and begin to realize what God is doing in your life and in the lives of your family because of your faithfulness, you'll say, and you just can't put it into words. Are you following me? This is an unspeakable area of the Christian life. We can say, boy, I prayed and God answered my prayers. But with this, we can't say, you know, hey, I gave. And you sound like you're bragging. And so you can't. It's just... Paul said, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. What is that gift? It is the understanding that comes through the experience that I can give to God and he will give back to me all that I need when I need it. I don't have to worry about my income in that sense. God can and will supply. He's promised. Okay? I remember Brother White years ago. How many remember Jim White? Been gone a long time. If you ever heard Jim White, you'll never forget it as long as you live. But Jim White used to make the statement here on numerous occasions, and he said some people would probably be amazed when they get to heaven to find out that God wanted to give through them what he was not going to give to them. And because he didn't give to them, they wouldn't let God give through them. Are you there? How many of you like God to give you $1 million? I think we can kind of, we'll probably all hold our hand up unless you're really self-righteous. And well, we've got a self-righteous crowd here tonight. Listen, if Lord, I'll take all their millions. They don't want them. I have no problem with that. But wouldn't it be sad to get to heaven and have $3.5 billion in assets and at the judgment seat of Christ, have the Lord say, you know what? You could have lived off $70,000 a year and given every bit of the rest of that away. And let me tell you how many people would have gotten saved, how many missionaries would have got to the mission field, how many scriptures would have gotten printed, how many buildings would have gotten built. Let me tell you, the reason I gave you that was not so you could put it on Wall Street and watch it. I gave it to you to sow like seed. And if you'd sown that seed, I would still have taken care of you. But you could have accomplished far more in your life that now, for eternity, will probably seem worthless. So you understand what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about just money. This is where this occurs. There's an idea of an unspeakable event. Something that defies explanation. Something that you can't convey to other people. You can only experience it yourself. You can jump up and down and say, God takes care of me, and I can. But it doesn't mean anything to you. Somebody else can jump up and say, I've been supporting missions for 25 years and God's never let me get in a financial. And you'd say, well, yeah, but that's them. And then you're right. But the catch in that is the reason they're jumping up and down and thanking God is because they said, you know, I'm going to try this. And they're speaking from experience. And it's one of those things that defies explanation. And you'll find that people who give faithfully to the Lord. I want you to write this down if you don't get anything else down. People who give faithfully to the Lord. Yes, they have difficult times. How many of you understand there are unexpected things in life that occur? And if I'm planning on this and this and this, and then boom, something happens. You say, well, what's going to happen? God promised to take care in that situation. It doesn't mean I don't get antsy. Okay, that don't mean that every once in a while I don't get on down my side of my bed and look and say, hey, God, see this right here? It's what you said, and I don't know whether it's going to work. There's nothing wrong with that. God didn't promise we would be arrogant and full of pride. We are simply His children. And as children, we know that we have a wealthy Father who promised to take care of us. So, this is something that is too wonderful for words. It's unspeakable. It's something that cannot be explained, so why waste your time? If you want to learn it, try it. You say, it doesn't make any sense to me. Yes, it does. The reason you go to Cedar Point is so you can get on whatever the scariest, wildest, craziest ride there is, so you can see if it's really as good a ride as everybody said it was. And everybody could gather around you and talk from morning till midnight and tell you how exciting it was, and you wouldn't get it. Right? Nothing like experiencing it yourself. You know what this is? This is a truth biblically for a Christian that a lot of Christians are going to get to heaven never having experienced it. And all at once, God's going to say, look, let me show you what I wanted to do in your life. And it's going to be humbling, isn't it? When God can show us what He could have done if we had simply said, you know what? Quit trying to figure it out. Just start. You say, well, I think 10%. Okay, give God 3%. Start. Say, by the grace of God, I'm going to test the Lord. Which could be dangerous in and of itself. But I'm going to test the Lord with a good heart. I want to see if the Bible is really true or not. And then once God proves to you that it's true, then you can tell the rest of the world and everybody will believe. Or you can just say, you know what, I believe it's true and I'm going to try to figure this thing out that can cause people to thank God for something they can't even put into words. Let me read it to you again. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. His unspeakable gift. I've been in missions conferences and had missionaries come up and throw their arms around me and hug my neck and say, your church sent the missionary that led me to Christ and my family is saved and I've got my, and now I'm learning to pastor the church that's being. Listen, there's no explanation for that. That it just isn't it wonderful? Wouldn't you like to get in on something in the course of your life? Huh? That when somebody says, well, what's so exciting about being a Christian? You can say, well, I'd love to tell you, but then I'd have to kill you. No, it's unspeakable. I could tell you and you wouldn't get it. You wouldn't get it. All right, let's move on. Come to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Some things are unspeakable because they have to be learned by experience. And I would encourage you to learn to give and gain that experience in the course of your life. And see if God can't prove Himself to be more wonderful than you can imagine. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. He's talking about himself here, just to move us through the context. He said, I knew this man, whether in the body or out of the body. He said, it was something he went through himself. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. Notice he said unspeakable words. Unspeakable words. Meaning what? Well, there's unspeakable gifts. Can't be explained. There are unspeakable words that we can't talk about. Why? Because we haven't been there. Paul was given a blessing of God. My thought is, well, why Paul? But then I see the life that Paul had to live, and I'm thinking, I'm glad he got to do it. Paul suffered probably as much as any Christian beyond Christ that walked this planet. He literally gave everything he had. And we love to read those missionary journeys in the book of Acts, and Paul's going to Philippi, and then he's going here, and he's going there, and it's all exciting because we live in a day and age when you get on an airplane and go pretty much anywhere in 2-3 hours. What we don't put into that context very often is that between this place and this place is a 6-week walk to get from this place to this place. To get here is getting on a boat, and obviously without finances, you're going to take a boat that... Brad, I had a thought right then. You remember that boat years ago? Yeah. We were on one of those boats years ago. We left Patras, Greece, I think, and went to Brindisi, Italy, across the Aegean Sea on a boat. They called it a boat. It certainly wasn't a pleasure craft, because I think everybody on board but Brad and I were sick. And I'm not just talking about, I'm talking about, sick. I wouldn't call that a pleasure craft. But again, can you imagine the voyages and we think about it in the terms of adventure. Boy, that would be exciting. No, it was not exciting. And you go, boy, he went here, and then he went here, and then he went here. No, he went here, and then half a year later, he got in here. And spent 2 or 3 months there, and then he spent another 8 months traveling here. And you understand that this was probably as arduous a job as could be had by anybody in this day and time. He talks about those things that he's dealt with in the course of his lifetime. And so this understanding is not necessarily that Paul's living this just ecstatic lifestyle. Paul's not the guy that meets you on the street corner and go, hi, how you doing? You know, Jesus Christ is your Savior. I'm here to tell you. No, this is a guy that's been beat to death by the toil and the task. This is a guy that's wept himself to sleep, hoping that people would get saved. This is a guy that got in trouble as many times as he had revival. This is a guy that ends up in prison for the cause of Christ. This is not your picturesque hero story. This is a story of toil and labor and tears and not understanding what was going to happen tomorrow. There's no certainty involved in this life. Many times we find Paul in jail or in trouble with the authorities, and I would remind you that uncertainty that comes. You don't know whether you're going to get arrested, thrown in jail, have your head cut off. You don't know. Maybe you realize it'd been a whole lot easier to go back home and say, you know what? Been there, done that. But Paul continues out of a love for the Lord. And in that process, God puts on him another new element in his lifetime. He talks about a messenger of Satan that was sent to buffet him in the flesh. Now, what does that mean? It can mean any one of probably seven or eight different things. Most of us understand it probably to be an illness that it is apparent from his writings that he had. He said to one group, if it were possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. The understanding is that Paul probably was afflicted with some type of an ocular disease that permitted him and even brought pain and suffering into his life. When he writes, he says, you see how large a letter I have written with mine own hand. When he writes the book of Romans, Tertius takes the dictation from the Apostle Paul. So I don't think we're stretching it to at least understand that part of Paul's medical problems and dilemma was eyesight and problems with his eyes. And as a result of that, I'm sure there are probably things he couldn't see. But he said in verse number 4, he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words of which it is not lawful for man to utter. Here's this one caught up. Most Bible teachers, and I have no problem with it, it's probably correct, we'll go back to when Paul went into Lystra on his missionary journey. He went into Lystra to preach, and the end result of that, if you know the story, was that they stoned him to death. You say, how do you know they stoned him to death? Because the Middle Easterners are really good at stoning. If you haven't seen that, go on YouTube and watch some of them done in the present day. Still using, by the way, stones. A horrible, horrible, horrible way to die. They left him for dead. And something happened. I can tell you that because when he revives and stands up, he goes back into Lystra. Okay, let me help you with that. He was just there. They stoned him to death. He stands up, says, I know what let's do. Let's go to Lystra. Almost as though he wanted to go back and have them finish the job. He said, here's such a one caught up to the third heaven, to heaven, seeing things there that's unlawful, hearing unspeakable words. Do you ever wonder what God said to Paul? Unspeakable. You know what he said? He said, Paul, listen, I'm glad you're here. It's going to take a while to clean you up, pal. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you love me. And you've suffered a great deal. Let me give you a tour. And he shows the Apostle Paul. And he said this. Paul, you're not finished yet. To which I believe Paul responded, oh, yes, I am. I'm here for good. No way I want to go back. But Paul, I want you to go back. Okay, Lord, if you want me to go back, I'll go back. See, Paul, those people need to hear the gospel. And you're suffering, and I wanted you to see just a little foretaste of what's beyond the life you're living for me. And all at once, that limp, bloodied body in the streets begins to move and stands up. And now you know why he said, let's go back into Lystra. Let him finish the job again. You know what he said he heard there? Unspeakable words. Meaning what? Not for public consumption. Do you ever have God talk to you about things that you could never talk to anybody else about? Do you ever have God touch your heart in a way you knew you were the only one? Do you ever have God lift the veil off of a particular passage of Scripture and you felt like you were the first one in history to grasp the truth that God had revealed to you? That may or may not be true as far as you being the only one. But boy, it sure felt like it. Do you ever have God just take your old heart and give it a squeeze and tell you how much he loved you. You ever have him turn you around and let you take a look back and realize where you would have been had it not been for the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ? You say, what in the world are you talking about? I'm talking about one of those one-on-one moments with the Lord Jesus Christ where you just kind of push the whole world away and it's just you and the Lord. One of those moments you can't really explain to somebody else, because they wouldn't understand. You ever have those moments? I can remember at least once in my life, and probably many more, but I've talked about this one. I can remember exactly where I was the night God spoke to me in a way he never spoke to me ever again in that sense. I could take you to an intersection in Dayton, Ohio. I could tell you the car I was in. It was that real. Now, I'm not talking about some Pentecostal speaking in tongues running the aisle. I'm talking about God being so real that you could have touched him had you wanted. And you say, that's kind of weird. That's what I'm telling you. Sometimes there are those unspeakable words that are not for anybody else. You say, what happened? None of your business. I just needed God to do some things that he did in an instant. I'll never forget. I can remember what's on the radio. How's that? Did you ever have God show up in a special way in your life? You say, well, I don't think. You don't think he would do that because he hasn't done it to you. Let's be honest, all right? And maybe it's not normal. But most of us aren't normal either. But I submit to you, there is a place here where someone going full bore for the Lord Jesus Christ, giving it all he had, needed God. And God showed up in a way that he never forgot. And while he was a good man and a faithful man and a hard-working individual, it changed his demeanor. You say, well, what was it? I don't know. It's unspeakable. Paul never told us. He said, I heard unspeakable words. Wouldn't you like to know what they were? Well, one day you will. But whatever they were that gave him enough boldness to say, I'm going back. I'm going to win these people and listen to Christ. If they have to stone me again and again and again, we're going to get this job done. Hey, what happened to you, Paul? I can't tell you. I can't tell you. I just can't tell you what it was. Yeah, I'd have to kill you if I told you because it's unspeakable. I'm not supposed to tell anybody. I'm not talking about a personal revelation that makes you some sub-deity. I'm not talking about you stepping into the angelic kingdom. I'm talking about God putting his hand on an old sinner that he's saved by grace, who's done their best, and maybe hadn't accomplished a whole lot, but they've given God their all. And God just putting the hand of heaven right on their shoulder and having them understand some things they can't convey to anybody else. Because it wasn't for anybody else. It was for them. Unspeakable gift. Unspeakable words. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Talking about our eternal salvation and security. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Listen, life is hard, whether you're saved or whether you're not. The reason the lost people seem to be having such a good time is because they're stoned out of their mind or drunk. Some of us that are sober realize it's a nasty world we live in. He said, we're kept by the power of God, ready It's the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Watch this. Wherein that salvation? Notice it hasn't been revealed completely yet. You know how exciting it is to know that you're saved? How many of you are glad you're saved tonight? How many of you trade your salvation for $1 million? You raise your hand, you're nuts. Once we've trusted Christ as our Savior, we have an appreciation for salvation that defies explanation. I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. But the truth of the matter is, I don't know a lot about what it's going to be like. I'm not an expert on heaven. I'm not an expert. You know what blows my mind? One word I can give you. I can spend days into eternity. I get a headache. I say, Lord, I have to go take a nap and I'll be back later on. We'll figure this thing out. But it just doesn't work. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Ever be. Forever. Can't grasp that. He said here, we're kept through the power of God. And he says in verse number 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. You could just put a little note right there in your Bible that said, the Christian life. Heaviness through manifold temptations. Somebody said, well, I would live for Christ if he'd just make it a little easier. If you had it easier, it wouldn't be living for Christ. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, we'd call that pure gold, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Defies explanation. What? That I can give financially to God and he'll take care of me and bless me financially and I won't even miss the money. That defies explanation. It's unspeakable. What are you talking about unspeakable? That I can hear things in heaven that can so charge my battery, that God can speak to me in such a way as to lift me out of despair and let me know that any sacrifice that is made here for Christ is well worth what we've got coming, although I don't know what it is. There are words that God said that I can't utter and cannot be uttered. And then I know this. I know that even though I haven't seen him, and even though I stand pretty ignorant spiritually about what's ahead, there's a joy in my heart that defies explanation. He said, "Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable." Do you ever have one of those moments where it's, I say again, sometimes it's in the scripture, sometimes it's in the middle of a song, where you look around, God standing next to you. You're singing away and thinking about him, and all at once you can see him smiling. I'm not talking about some vision. You just know his presence is there. I'm talking about one of those moments where your heart just floods with joy. It's an amazing thing. You can come to church with a million problems, and in one verse of an old hymn magnifying him, all those burdens can be lifted. You say, what is that? Well, let me tell you exactly what it is. I don't know. I don't know. You can't put those things into words. They're unspeakable. I just know we rejoice with joy you can't explain. I've seen people stand at the graveside of a loved one, graveside of a child. Got to be one of the hardest things in the world. And I've seen them break out into praise to the Lord. I've seen them begin to laugh. You say, are they crazy? No. They got in touch with something you can't describe. It's unspeakable. Unspeakable. You know what we are, Christians? We are the wealthiest, most successful people in the world, but we can't tell anybody about it. Because if we told them, They want an explanation. And we can't give it. You know, if you leave tonight and somebody hands you a bag with $50,000 in it, don't call anybody. Spend it. You say it might be. Yeah, it might be a lot of things. Sometimes God just gives us those handfuls on purpose. It says, here you go. Sometimes He puts things in your life. You say, Lord, I don't deserve this. And He says, I know. You say, Lord, this was probably supposed to go to somebody else. And you, again, He doesn't speak audibly in that sense, but you almost know He's saying, well, I could have given it to somebody else, but you need it worse than you think you do. Hadn't God been good to you in a way you just can't explain? Hasn't there been a time when circumstances just didn't go the way you knew they had to go and somehow God got in and it all turned around? Aren't there some things in your Christian walk that you could never convey to another human being because it was just you and God? And may I submit to you tonight, if you don't have any of those unspeakable moments, unspeakable blessings, unspeakable experiments, then you ought to try to find out what they're all about, because He put them in His book. And while they may be unspeakable, while they may defy explanation, they certainly can fill the soul with joy. And they certainly can be absolutely known by the child of God. Let's bow our heads tonight.